Hi guys, I've got Dean Spacovento here today from Reposit. Anybody in the solar industry for quite a while would have heard of the Reposit already, but they have kind of pivoted to some degree, and Dean is here today to tell us all about it. Welcome, Dean.
Hey, Marcus.
Now, before we start, normally we always have to do one little ritual. Could you please touch my ball?
Your ball. Okay, I'm going to touch the plasma ball.
Yeah, the plasma ball. Okay. Of course. What were you thinking?
Okay, do you judge me on this in any way?
Yes, because there's supposed to be some vibes coming out of it.
Are there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. Now, here's our little Reposit box. So this is really what you've spent, what, 5, 6, 8 years on? How long?
Company's 10 years old. That's the fourth revision of the Reposit controller.
Right.
So that one took us about 2 years to get right.
So did you wake up one morning in the shower and thought, I'll have to have a Reposit?
The history of Reposit and where it came from is a story. It comes down to basically I used to work in finance, doing all sorts of financy type things. My father's an electrical engineer. I've always been interested in energy, always playing with energy stuff. But, you know, my dad, as a good wog, he said, listen, you need to get good marks and then you get a good job and then you have a good life. And I got to about 20 on a very good job with very good money. And I kind of went, is this it, Dad? And he's like, you've done well. Well done.
Lock yourself up and bury yourself.
Basically. And I kind of went, you know what? I don't think that's all there is. So I started to try to climb my way into electricity. I got really lucky with one of the acquisitions that was made by the Westpac Institutional Bank. They bought Enron in Australia. I was part of the team that brought that business into Westpac. I learned all about electricity trading there and about systems and how it works. Decided I really liked it. And then basically from that moment on, every step that I've made in my career is about getting deeper and deeper into electricity trading, more sophistication, be able to create more economic value. And increasingly from 2011, a real commitment to doing something about climate change by doing smart things with electricity.
Wow. So now this is fourth generation.
Fourth gen.
For some customers, they would have never heard about Reposit. So this is kind of like the new picture. So can you please explain the Reposit system now, Mark 4?
Yeah. So Mark 4 now is centered around that controller. And that controller has 4G on it. It's got the compute on it. It's got a bunch of electricity metering on it, very fast metering, accurate metering on it. And really all those things just tie into guaranteeing people no electricity bill for 7 years. And it does that by just making 4 decisions every second about what to do with the battery, what to do with the solar, and do I go to the grid in or out? And it does that so reliably that we can guarantee that you can get no electricity bill for 7 years and it's still profitable for us to do that.
But you have to, in the beginning, put a solar system, a battery, your Reposit controller on the person's house. Do they have to pay for it?
Absolutely. Do they own it as soon as they pay for it? So really what we've done is we've said, look, you guys want no electricity bill. We understand that. Better than that, you want a guarantee. You want certainty that you're not going to get an electricity bill. All sorts of uncertainty in the electricity system with rising prices and transition and electricity network build-outs, changes of government, etc. People don't care. They want to know that they are protected from price rises and that they have got clean electricity in their home and they know what it's going to cost them.
So if I would just buy a solar and battery system, then I would still normally get a bill because I do have the supply charge and at night I use it and sometimes the battery's not enough, etc. So your difference is that that gap doesn't fall into my pocket anymore. I just don't have to worry about the bill. Is that it?
That's part of it. Absolutely, that is true. All of those things are true. Daily charges, metering costs, all those kind of things are gone. On top of that, any price rises, you don't see because you're not paying an electricity bill. Any changes in feed-in tariff, solar feed-in tariff, you don't see. Any changes in regulation where you require this kind of control device or that kind of control device or some other
export limitation,
solar taxes, all of that, not your problem anymore. All Reposit's problem. We guarantee you no electricity bill. We are just in a better position to manage all of this uncertainty than the average punter who's got their own life and kids and they're dealing with complexity of living. All we do all day is work out how the electricity system works, what's the best way to interact within it, and then we teach the controller that.
Are you kind of like take my electricity that I generate if I'm not at home now and let's say if I'm in Sydney and you got another Reposit customer in Newcastle, does he, and let's say it's raining there and he needs the electricity, do you kind of magically take my electricity and give it to the guy there? Is that what you're doing?
Again, not magic, but yes, that is what we do. So we run a collection, a fleet, a community of batteries and solar altogether, and our control systems are able to understand what the state of that fleet is, how much solar is available, what's likely to do in the next 24 hours, how much is in the battery, what they're likely to do over the next 24 hours. We're able to balance and share across the fleet. And we have done that for years and years. So ever since Reposit started, we have more than 6,000 homes under control. But we're so good at it now that we can guarantee you no electricity bill.
But, you know, in Parliament, I hear them, you know, sometimes the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine and the renewables are not that good. You seem to have kind of cracked that nut.
Yes. So that's really what I started. That's what I really wanted to do ever since I entered into electricity. I was incensed once. I was having a chat with a Macquarie banker and I said, listen, you know, instead of funding gas stations, why don't you fund solar? And I was told, look, they don't offer an 8 to 12% internal rate of return. And that's because, you know, the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. And I'm like, okay, so what if they did offer an 8 to 12% internal rate of return? No worries, we'd invest in them. So that was the conversation that sort of got me on this. Again, came out of finance and started to care a lot about climate. Mm. And if Macquarie bankers are happy with 8 to 12% internal rate of return, I just need to do that.
Mm. So this is the little software and controller brain. Now, is this made in China or what's the story?
So this is made in South Australia.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. So the Reposit controller talks to data centers in Australia.
Yes.
Using Australian comms networks. It's all run by us in Canberra. And it means that there is no possibility of foreign coercion in the operation of the Reposit fleet.
So if somebody wants to turn off the internet, you guys are still working, is it?
Yeah, that controller is where the decisions get made. So all the control decisions, you know, for every second, they're not happening in the data center somewhere. They happen on there.
Right.
So when there
is an internet. Did you design this?
My team designed this.
Right. That's nice for you. You could have claimed it just me.
Absolutely not. No, I did not. I'm not an electronics engineer.
But this is basically a forced generation. So this is, there's literally thousands of man hour gone into this Reposit controller to get it to be as smart as it is to trade electricity all across the network. Is that right?
Yeah, literally thousands of hours. And like, I don't know, like hundreds of trillions, I think, of electricity measurements.
That's already taken place in these controllers.
Across the whole fleet, and then they come back to a set of data centers.
So, I mean, you know, they say KFC got seven special spices. So what's the special spice in this Reposit controller?
It's able to make predictions about a lot of different things and be very good about those predictions. So obviously electricity price is a prediction. How much solar is coming into a house is a prediction. What the load is likely to be over the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, all the way up to 24 hours. But more than that, what's the battery going to do if I ask it to do something right now? What's the solar going to do if I ask it to do something right now? And batteries in particular are badly impacted by heat, particularly by cold, state of charge, which wall are they on, what time of the day is it, all sorts of different things. So to get reliable control, which is what you need to be able to do what we do, to guarantee no electricity bills for 7 years, you need to make very, very good predictions. And that's why the 8 years of data that we have is so important. We're able to train lots and lots of models to be able to make very reliable predictions on tens of different factors that go into making a decision. Fundamentally, that's what that does.
All right. So if I simplify that a little bit, and I'm still getting it only here and there, let's say I have a battery full again in Sydney and it's raining like hell in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And the guy in Newcastle needs the heater on and he uses electricity. You now say, hang on, the Sydney guy, from all the past behavior, he's never home during the day. I can now suck 5 kilowatt hours out of his battery and send it into the grid and the guy in Newcastle can grab it because basically I know he needs it and I use the historical data and I can tell that that is the more likely scenario, so I'm making those choices.
That's right.
Oh, well, that's kind of, I'm happy I got it. Now, I always look for the slightly smelly fish in these kind of too good to be true proposals. And do you charge a real bomb right at the beginning for that security of 7 years of no bill? Meaning, are you up for 30 grand to just have peace of mind, or what's the story there?
We try to price our systems to be slightly more expensive, only slightly more expensive than solar and battery without the guarantee. So like in Victoria, we're selling no bill systems for anybody with less than sort of 20 kilowatt hours a day of consumption at $15,990. And in New South Wales, it's $16,990.
And how big is the battery for that, and how big is the solar system?
It's sort of irrelevant on a no-bill plan. So the whole point is that we size it so that you are able to have a guarantee of no electricity bills for 7 years. And so for that system, we go, okay, electricity consumption is something like 20 kilowatt hours, then that $15,990 in Vic or $16,990 system in New South Wales is sufficient. Now, if you do care, and really we don't think consumers do care, they just want no electricity bills, that is a 10.4 kilowatt hour battery with 6.1 kilowatts of solar.
That's not too bad. Most roofs will handle that.
Yeah.
But would you sometimes find customers who kind of keen to go ahead, but they're on a little inner city terrace and you just can't fit the system and there's no space for the battery? Do you have issues like that?
Yeah. And like, unfortunately, we can't do anything for those customers at the moment. Later on, we'll be able to work out how to do no bill. In fact, we're working on that now, how to do it without solar on the roof. Because fundamentally, again, consumers don't care about solar or batteries. Most of them just want a guarantee of no electricity bill.
Hmm.
We're very good at manipulating electricity in time and across geography. And so that means that we don't need necessarily forever for there to be solar at the connection point. We can do it in other ways.
Okay. But let's say you gave me some prices around the $15,000, $16,000 I pay up front. Then I have for 7 years no electricity bill guaranteed. There must be some kind of proviso, because suddenly I can't kind of create a hemp farm at the back of my shed and use three times more electricity. So what are the kind of provisos and extra rules that you have to follow to get those deals?
There's really only one. And that is, and it's not unfamiliar to anybody on these sort of all-you-can-eat plans, there is a fair use cap. And the fair use cap is 120% of whatever you're doing in your house just before you bought no bill.
So, all right, so you go back, check out the last 12 months, that's the kilowatt hours, make it 10,000, and then I can have up to 12,000 in the next 7 years as my buffer each year.
Every year, that's right.
Right, right. So you must have worked out what are the real saving. If I'm a bloke who really uses the 120% every time right up to the end and then stop throttling my thing down to really get my freebie as much as possible, you know, the buffet meal, plunk it on.
Yep.
I do that with the deal. I go 120% for 7 years. What's my saving overall in a kind of range? I know it depends on electricity prices, but you must have kind of worked something out there.
It's between $17,000 and $25,000. You're better off. So the system will pay itself off and you're $17,000 to $25,000 ahead. Now, that is taking into account what we consider to be price rises over the next 2 and 3 years in particular, and then a moderation after that. But people are already getting letters from their retailer saying price rises on the 1st of January. That's inevitable in the way that our electricity system is evolving at the moment. There will be very heavy price rises. So you take those things into account, and we have calculators that we provide during the sales process. You can see everything, all the assumptions, all the numbers. Yeah, without financing it, you're 17 to 25 ahead. If you do finance it, you're somewhere between sort of 12 and 19 ahead, because financing typically costs about $4,500, $5,000.
Right, right. So you do offer this whole program on finance too?
We don't offer finance. We hook up our customers with finance that we think would work best for them. So in Victoria, there's the $8,800 0% battery loan. It's just similar in the ACT, nothing in New South Wales. So, you know, we know where the best offers are and we steer our customers towards that.
Right. So you kind of have the experience, you know where the best finance is, and then you make recommendations, but it's still up to the customer.
It's still up to the customer. Your customer can choose between, you know, any finance that they want to bring to the table. Fundamentally, we don't do any finance. Mm. We think that finance will evolve over the next 2 or 3 years, particularly in electrification. There's quite a lot of interesting proposals. I think the federal government is going to have to do something So we just stay out of there for the moment.
Most people just redraw it on the mortgage.
That is the ideal thing to do. Mm. You redraw it on the mortgage is the ideal thing to do. And we're finding that increasingly people say, listen, I want to refinance. And while I refinance, I'd like to take out some extra money for one of these things. That's the best way to do it.
Now, if I get a really big system and I have a really big house and you put a really big solar system in and a big battery, are the savings bigger?
Way bigger. It actually works better for larger consumers. Now, we can't take, you know, your 160 kilowatt hour a day customers, which they do come to us and we do have a look.
Mm.
Typically, there's usually not enough space to be able to do it. We would do it if there was enough space to put the batteries in the solar. And actually, what I think is that as efficiencies increase and batteries get smaller, we will be able to do it.
Mm.
But yeah, like there's some customers that are on $35,000, $40,000 better off.
Right. I was thinking for a second, you tell me $35,000 electricity bills. Jesus Christ.
We have seen ones with $65,000 electricity bills.
End customer or factories?
End customers, households.
Jesus, that's a palace.
Very, very wealthy people.
Wow.
We get a lot of kind of very wealthy people. It's a kind of product that a very wealthy person is interested in. It like takes away this thing that's an annoyance in their life.
Mm,
and in typically very wealthy people are just trying to remove annoyances from their life. That's where they've gotten to.
Okay.
So this is for everybody though, right? You don't need to be super wealthy to have this particular annoyance go away.
So if you would say the usage starts at about 20 kilowatt hours.
A little bit less, 14. Right. If you got somewhere between 14 up, it starts to make sense. You know, anything.
And where do you kind of stops? About 50, 60? Or?
No, 85, 100.
Okay. So for anybody using between 15 kilowatt hours and 80 kilowatt hours a day, if you want to get no more bill for 7 years, look at the deposit offer and save yourself some money.
Yeah.
You know how normally we get a feed-in tariff for the electricity that I export? With the deposit no bill system, how does that work?
You don't get a feed-in tariff. You literally don't see a bill. You don't get paid any money, nor do you pay any money. Like electricity comes down now to you plugging things into the wall and just using electricity just normally and not worrying about
it. But let's say I'm with Energy Australia or Origin or AGL currently, and then I sign up to you guys and I pay my money. Do you then come out and install?
Yes.
And what happens to the electricity company that I was with?
We take responsibility for your electricity retail from you. So there's a thing called the no-bill switch.
Right.
After the system has been installed and we do a thing called deposit data verified, which is basically we check it over, make sure that it's working perfectly, and then we commission the system. And at that moment, one of our customer success team will get on the phone with you and your electricity retailer and will take control of your bill.
So I literally never get a bill again, do I?
You literally never get a bill again.
But can't you just send me a bill that says zero so I actually know that I'm getting a bill? Because it kind of feels really eerie when you don't get an electricity bill. You kind of feel a bit naked. Because
that feels excellent, man.
No. You kind of go, I haven't had an electricity bill for a year. You kind of wake up in the middle of the night going, oh, my God, what happened to my electricity bill?
Waking up in sweats in the middle of the night because you didn't get an electricity bill, that's Stockholm syndrome, right? It's just like, it's just abusive. Just you become habituated to the abuse and you can't move on without it.
It's bill shock. 20 years of bill shock.
Right? So, like, you don't need that. I can tell you now, not getting electricity bills is unexpectedly purifying and beautiful. Like, it's so nice to not have to worry about, oh, shit, this is going to be expensive.
Yeah, it's the anticipation when I get them.
Yeah.
It's always kind of like, how bad is this going to be?
That's right.
It's like the dog did a fart. Is this going to be really like a terrible one, or is it kind of like, are we going to leave the room? It's that bad. And then you open it and then you go, it's as bad as I expected, but at least thank God it's not worse.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of psychological trauma. Like, there's so much in the world already. You don't need it coming in your post box, right? Mm. So, like, it makes people's lives get materially better. It's rainy and my kids' like school uniform and socks are wet. Put them in the dryer. It's the middle of winter. It's cloudy outside. Put them in the dryer, right? Like, having my mother over and she's always whinging about how hot it is, crank the air conditioner for a little while. Like,
so you're actually adding comfort.
Oh, my God.
And less stress.
Yeah. That's, I think, like, I mean, aside from the financials, which are nice, you get over it pretty fast, right? Like, you're just not seeing the bill anymore and not having that worry and then being able to just live a nicer life.
Yeah, but hang on a second. Now, the mother-in-law likes it because you got it nice and cool. She now comes over all the time.
Yeah.
And suddenly you go over the 120%. What happens then?
Okay. So you know it's coming because it's on the app. So there's a meter on the app and it says you're 30% of the way through the month and you're 35% of the way through your fair use cap for the month. So you get plenty of warning. If you go over, then you'll get a phone call or an email from one of the customer success people at Reposit and they'll say, hey, we noticed you went over. You know, is there a change in circumstances in your home? Have you installed a hot tub? You know,
no, mother-in-law's coming over.
Yeah, and most of the time, if it's the mother-in-law coming over and she's eventually going to get sick of it, then we'll just say, okay, no worries. We want the customers to stay in Noble. The terms and conditions say there's a three strikes policy. And that three strikes policy says that if you violate your fair use policy
per month, times, is it a month?
It's per quarter.
All right, okay.
Yep. So if you violate it for three quarters, then we can say, listen, you're taking the piss and we're gonna take you off Noble. We don't take your system from you. It's your system. Still on your house. You still do the fill up from solar and dump out at night. Just won't do all the clever stuff and you don't get any guarantee. It's just like a normal solar system, probably better installed than you would buy from a solar installer with a battery on it, right? That's the worst case. But it takes a lot to get there. Typically what happens is people go, oh, I didn't know. So because, you know, apps are apps. So you look at it, they look at it for 2 weeks and they stop looking, right? Because their lives are busy and, hey, their life just got better. And like, we don't want people like sweating over the fair use tracker, right? But sometimes people go, oh, well, my air conditioner is very efficient. So I'm just going to run every room at 18 degrees. And actually, it's not that efficient. Someone's told you it's really efficient and it's not. So our customer success team's got all your data and they'll talk you through it. And they say, what is it you're always turning on at like 10 o'clock in the morning and it stays on till? No worries. And we work it through. Just use the Econo mode if you're going to do that. Simple suggestions, because we genuinely want people to stay connected on Noble. We can't do the magic, as you put it, that we do if a customer is not on Noble, right? It's just too complex, too confusing for people. So we have very, very strong incentive to have people remain on Noble. And where people are doing the right thing, we'll work with them.
So let's say I've had the kids, they were 10 years old, I bought the system, now they're moving into the teenage years, 3 years later, more showers, more video games, whatever else, and the electricity goes up. Then also I bought an EV, now I've charged that from home.
Yes.
So now it's very hard for me to stay within that 120.
Yes.
In some way I should have predicted. So when I have to buy the system in the first place, I should really look over the horizon into the future to kind of work out what is the right size. But let's say I feel it's very difficult for me to stay there. What are you offering me to kind of still stay in the no-bill system? Do I increase the battery in the solar?
We've designed your system so that it's easy to add new ones on. Like part of what the Reposit controller can do is tie lots of components together. Mm. It's always done that. Mm. So we make it easy so that you can just get a larger system, a bit more solar, a bit more battery, whatever it takes, goes into the controller, and then your fair use cap goes up. And problem goes away, and then we reset your fair use.
But then I have to pay a little bit for that extra installation.
Yeah, you pay a little bit for the whatever the solar cost or whatever the battery cost, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, okay. Much, much less, however, because all the wiring's in, the controller's already in, everything's done. And we can very accurately size that system because we've got the data and we know how much you're over.
Mm. Now, in your calculations for you saying you can save $15,000, $17,000, even $20,000 compared to a normal scenario over the 7 years going with the Reposit Noble system, you make an assumption that electricity is increasing, I suppose.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
All right. So I've been in the electricity market for a very, very long time, and here's what I see. Since 2008, there's been price increases pretty much every year. There's been 2 or 3 years where it's gone down slightly, but always with a big rebound afterwards. There's a key reason for that. And it's because Australia's electricity infrastructure was built after the Second World War.
Mm.
And we didn't put a lot of investment into it for years and years and years and years. And we had the lowest price of electricity across all nations due to cheap coal and lots of investment after the Second World War.
11 cents, I remember.
Yeah, super cheap, right? But that infrastructure was fine until our population started to grow relatively rapidly and our assets started to age. And in about 2008, 2009, we hit this point where assets started to get old and our population started to outgrow the infrastructure. So now we had to play a bit of catch up. Then what happened is we put in the carbon pollution reduction scheme. Remember the carbon tax? That was the right way to create an orderly exit of coal-fired generators and eventually gas-fired generators. What that did is it told all the owners of the coal-fired power stations, this is how much you're going to make if you make a particular investment in upgrading the turbine or fixing the boiler or putting a new terminal station on or any of those kind of things. When Tony Abbott removed the carbon pollution reduction scheme, what he actually did was set an infinite price on carbon. All the people in making investments now had no idea what the impact of the carbon pollution was going to be on the economics of their power station. They knew that climate change was going to be a thing and governments were going to have to do something about it. And we had a price, what was it, 60 cents or $60 or whatever it was?
Mm.
And now that price is gone. So they're all like, uncertainty, uncertainty. We hate uncertainty. It's the death of investment. So for about 10 years, no one spent any money on their coal-fired power stations, on their boilers, on their turbines, or their terminal stations, and they started to break. And you saw your lawn start to break and Liddell start to break. And so now instead of an orderly exit of coal and centralized transmission, what we're seeing now is a disorderly exit due to lack of investment. And that is going to cause costs.
But isn't it also that the large solar farms and wind farms are usually in more remote areas and we have to build a whole new infrastructure now to bring them into the fold? So there's additional expenditure even with the existing infrastructure that has to be upgraded, but also new infrastructure to be added.
Yeah. So like there's two parts to that. One is, do we have to? And the second one, what does it cost? And yeah, transmission lines are expensive and they take a long time to build and there's a lot of dependence. A lot of things have to go right. Landowners have to be happy. Environmental agency have to, states have to be happy. Lots of things have to, and it's all expensive, right? So.
Especially if they go underground, which some people want.
That's right. Like undergrounding is extremely expensive, right? Cables under the ocean, extremely expensive. Ultimately, consumers always pay for electricity stuff because electricity networks, electricity generators are there to service consumers.
And make a profit.
And make a profit, right? So consumers pay all of that. At the end of the day, if you're going to turn over and change trillions of dollars of assets, consumers are going to pay for that full trillions of dollars of assets plus the margins.
I mean, I forgot even EVs. EVs will add, put extra demand on the grid. So that's going to add more costs to the grid too, is it?
Not just that. Solar going into the grid is making the grid cost more. The grid was not designed, in particular the protection mechanisms of the grid, were not designed for power going
the
backwards.
Other way. Yeah.
Yeah. So all the protection systems need to be changed. Like they're very dumb protection. They're very reliable. They're, you know, electromechanical. They rely on magnetic fields. But when you reverse the flow, the magnetic field goes the other way and the protection stops working. Like that's, you know, fundamentally these things need to be safe first. So that's why I know costs are going to keep on going up. We're changing too much. Now, there is a question as to do we need to the costs to go up as much as they're likely to go up if we just redo all the transmission networks and build a whole bunch of centralized batteries, et cetera, et cetera. And my proposal is no, we should not do that. That just
they should be able to use stuff with smarts.
Yes. On rooftops, using connection points on distribution networks, bring the generation close to the demand. Like it made sense to put coal-fired generators out in the country because that's where the coal mines were. And nobody wants a coal-fired generator in their backyard. But no one cares about solar on the roof. It's perfectly fine.
So you're saying instead of going and building huge solar farms out in Whoop Whoop and then pay for the extra transmission lines, you actually should make every roof a full solar roof, and that capacity then can be utilized even past the existing homeowner into their neighborhoods and in their communities. And if you look at all the roofs we have, there's still a lot of capacity available.
Look, absolutely. And I think solar will go beyond roofs. It'll be embedded in glass. It'll be put on roads. We should put it over all of our irrigation canals. Like fundamentally, this old paradigm of big transmission lines to large industrial machinery out in the countryside, that is an old way of thinking based upon pollution and coal mines. And that's not how electricity works now.
And so all those different solar systems with something like a controller.
Yeah.
Would actually work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it means that you would not, you'd, we'd still need to build some transmission, absolutely, and, you know, rejuvenate the transmission that's there, but we wouldn't have to build so much. And look, I actually think that it's impossible for us to build all the transmission that's required because there's just, I mean, a lot of landholders don't want it. And like they can hold it up forever. We don't have forever. We've got 15 years.
Now, I asked you a very simple question, which was, will electricity go up?
Yeah.
So if I'm now at 35, 40 cents per kilowatt hour, where do you expect it to be, let's say, in 5-6 years?
70, 80.
Ooh. So people would then expect sometimes with a big family up to $2,000 electricity bill.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like I've got, it doesn't take much. So in the calculator that we provide during the customer journey, we take your consumption and we take what you're paying for electricity now and we say, look, we think there's going to be about a 20% price rise in the next period because we think that's what's going to happen. Then we think there'll be another 11 to 15%, then there'll be 7, and then it'll be 5, and then it'll be inflation, 3, 3, 3. That's what we think is going to happen.
All right. Fair enough. In Australia, gamblers. But what about if none of these is happening, you're just telling me that because you want to flog your system.
Sure.
And there's no increase in electricity price. Do I still make money on your system?
If there's no increase in electricity price, depending on where you are, you may or you may not. It's not as much. It's sort of in the $4,000 or $5,000 range, right? So you're still better off, but it's not a massive slam dunk sort of 15 grand kind of thing, right? But like it's completely impossible that there will not be electricity price rises.
Well, hang on, but so you're kind of like an insurance policy.
Very much. That's how we think about ourselves inside Reposit. It's about certainty. And it's about selling, I guess, electricity insurance. It's a weird way to think about it, and it's a weird product with lots of, like, I don't know if everyone gets it, but you're right. Like, it is. It's an insurance policy. And we think that over the next period of time, the value of that insurance is going to be, like, more than maybe ever before.
Right, right. You come in, your salespeople come in, promise me no bill for 7 years. Sounds very sexy. But then I had two solar sales guys with a battery, and they were really nice guys too. So why wouldn't I just buy a solar and a battery system?
The main difference between sort of no bill and solar and a battery system is the certainty. If you bought solar and a battery system, what you're going to end up with is a lower bill, absolutely. How much lower? You don't know. Is it a good battery? Is it going to work? How big is it? Is it big enough for me? Does it control? Is it aware of like doing things at the right time? Now you're going to end up with an electricity bill, and you're going to have feed-in tariff effects and price rise effects and all sorts of different things, right? So what you've actually bought yourself, yes, is maybe a lower bill, probably a lower bill, but how much? And a lot more uncertainty. Now you have to pay attention. Is my solar working? Is my battery working? If it's not working, what do I do about it? Who do I call? Like complexity, uncertainty, like it's a bad product experience. It's not good. You buy no bill, you're guaranteed no electricity bill. If your system is working or it's not working, obviously it's in our interest to give you a good one and to install it nicely. But you're guaranteed no electricity bill. You have bought yourself no electricity bill and 100% certainty for 7 years. And that's the fundamental difference.
Okay, I'm going to give you a curly one because it just happened to me.
Let's go.
I have a solar system. Two pigeons decide to fall in love under my panels.
Yes.
And now their shit goes into my rainwater tank and it smells like acid.
Okay.
Is that my problem or your problem?
Basically what we'll do is we'll talk to you and we'll say, listen, hey, we've noticed there's been a decrease in your solar production. It seems to be a decrease that is not about shading. So we see trees
grow. Shitting.
Yeah, it's shitting, right? So then we'll go, okay, what is this thing? And then we might send somebody out to go and have a look. And they'll say, oh, look, there's a whole family of pigeons under the solar panel.
That's right.
Right? And we'll go, okay, no worries, let's go and get that sorted out. And most of the time we'll just sort that out.
Well, then what are you really saying by going with Reposit? I don't have to become a solar expert.
Yeah.
Have to read 22 guides about how batteries work.
Yeah.
Have to fight my pigeons.
Yeah.
And I just get on with my life.
Yeah. Like electricity is our thing, not your thing, right? Like you've got your thing, whatever it might be. It might be V8 supercars. It might be accountancy. It might be, I don't know, childcare. Our thing is electricity. We love it. Like we get up every day, are excited to do things about electricity. Maybe that makes us slightly mad, but it's we genuinely enjoy it. My team loves this shit.
Now, your system, you said 15, 16, 17, that's where they start off. That's the initial cost, thousands. But they're great solar systems for $2,500.
Are they great?
I've been told they called Bill Buster and some cricketers promote them.
Sure.
What's your experience with those systems?
Look, I'll give you our policy on doing retrofitting on existing solar systems. So a lot of people come to us and say, I've already got a solar system and I would like you to put all the controller and the batteries on a do no bill. Typically we say no. And we say no because we have enough data over 8 years to see what the variance in quality is for different types of solar systems. And what we see is the cheaper solar systems typically stop working very early, either altogether or their degradation is very, very strong and they basically are useless, just taking up space on the roof. And we have, you know, we do keep an eye on the CEC and the state inspectorates and basically who they're pinging for what kind of quality issues. So we will retrofit no bill on existing solar, but only for a very, very small number of systems installed by particular installers. And so, right. And we know those installers well. We've seen like hundreds of their installs and they're always great. And so we have confidence to be able to retrofit it there. It's very, very small. It's making 1 or 2% of the market. So typically what we do is we say, look, yes, you bought your solar for $2,500. We're gonna take it off and we're gonna recycle those panels and we're gonna put a new one on. And that's how you're gonna get no bill. And now if you're happy to do that, typically customers who spent $2,500 on solar, anywhere basically up to sort of $5,000 on solar, anywhere longer than sort of 4 or 5 years ago, everyone's happy to rip them off the roof and put new ones on. And that's what we do.
But is your experience in the first place with the data you see don't buy cheap shit?
Yeah, the data says don't buy cheap shit. I mean, it's not groundbreaking. Mm. Like, you know, you get what you pay for. Fundamentally, that's a lesson that the world teaches us over and over again. There's a reason why they're $2,500.
So what gear do you use? If I'm a bit of a tech nerd and I want to know which battery and what the discharge rate and all of this, are you going to get me all involved and look over your shoulder or are you telling me to piss off?
I'm not going to tell you to piss off. I'm going to say, look, if you're an enthusiast and like batteries and solar,
yeah, like right, that.
Then by all means, go and buy from somebody who's willing to cater for your enthusiasm here, right? Like, but it's very much like going to your local mechanic and saying, hey, build me a race car and I'm going to pick these wheels and this bonnet and whatever. Most people just want the Camry and they'll go and buy it from Toyota, right? So, yeah, it's like we're not into the enthusiast market. There's lots of people that'll do that. It's not us.
So you're basically saying leave the battery, leave the panels, leave all that to us?
Yeah.
You just worry about the fact that you don't get a bill.
Yeah, guaranteed. No bill, 7 years. Yep.
Ah, okay. Now, obviously, if you give me a 7-year no bill contract, I have to sign a contract.
Yes. So the 7-year commitment is on our side only. Like, you can leave whenever you want. You can leave on the first day. You can leave after the first year. No one does, but...
Because I already paid for the system.
Yeah, and you like having no electricity.
Yeah, I mean, if I leave, that means I don't have the guarantee anymore. So that makes no sense.
Yeah, but it's important because some people think that the 7-year commitment is they're making a 7-year commitment as well, and they're not. We're the only ones. Reposit is the only one making a 7-year commitment. There's no exit fees. You don't lose your system. There's no balloon payment. You can leave whenever you want.
Mate, I loved that I didn't get an electricity bill. I just want more of that. 7 years are over. What do I do now?
All right, there's two options. The first one is that we refresh your batteries and we put you on another no-bill contract. That's what we think most people will do. 7 years away, our projection is batteries will be basically twice to three times as good.
And cheaper?
Absolutely. So when I say as good, I mean like kilowatt hours per dollar.
Right.
There are lots and lots of forces for that. I don't think there'll be any catastrophically amazing price reductions in the next sort of year or the year after or the year after. But I think, you know, you've got
just
this
kind of just gradually little
15%
bit.
Compounding over 7 years, you get to double.
Okay. So you're basically saying after 7 years, leave the panels, leave your reposit controller, but change the battery.
So you pay to have the batteries refreshed. I don't know what that'll cost, but, you know, you can do the maths less. Or you can just say, look, yes, the no bill thing was good, but I'd like to have my bills back now and just, you know, run my system out until it dies. You've got a good system. It's nice and reliable and it's been probably well maintained. In fact, it's definitely been well maintained for at least 7 years. Mm. So, yeah, you just run it out. It'll fill and spill.
I mean, you tend to get still at least maybe 10 years out of the battery. So for the next two or 3 years, you'd be still rounding away. But then after that, the battery's probably – depleted to about 60% capacity, yeah, and you're kind of getting a bit sick of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And like, you know, in the market, there'll be much better technology. That space on your wall is being taken up by stuff that's old, right? It's not that expensive to replace it. Mm. We think everyone's going to replace it. I actually think everyone's going to replace their solar panels as well.
Mm. And are they going to recycle them, or is it all going in the tip?
No, it can't go in the tip. So absolutely the batteries will be recycled. There's just too much good stuff in them, right? Particularly the copper and the aluminium, the nickel. Like, they'll be definitely recycled. And solar panels, likewise, that polysilica is like, you know, that's gold dust. So, you know.
But the aluminium and the glass as well.
And the aluminium and the glass as well, right? Mm. Like, these things are eminently recyclable. Mm. And I think the commitment the industry needs to make is that we are going to recycle all this stuff. It's not like, does it go in the tip or is it going to be recycled?
It's too valuable for the future.
It's too valuable.
Like, I mean, even the CO2 embedded in it to get it as far as where it is now, it'd be totally crazy. And I think the government's got to put more controls on that.
Yeah, look, personally. And like, refined metals and glass are a form of long-term energy storage. So, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you've got your salesperson that explains it all to me. I like the idea of 7 years, no bills. Do I then have to pay a deposit, or how does all that process work?
Yeah, we ask for 10% deposit. We do that for two reasons. You need some signatures on some paperwork, on connection approvals, if you're getting finance. We want you to be engaged in the installation process. You need to have some spare tiles when we do the solar install. Like, we
spare
want
tiles, is it?
Spare tiles.
I thought I heard tolls and I'm thinking.
No. Spare tiles.
Right.
Right. You just we've done a lot of these installs. We know how to make it a good experience. There's a bit of prep that happens up front, and we want you to be engaged. We'll get the install done nice and quick, but we need you to be engaged. And so if we've got 10% of your cash, you're gonna
be more engaged than
more
if
engaged,
there's none. Yeah,
right?
Got it.
What's the second one? Finance companies look at whether or not you're able to pay 10%, and they take that into account when talking about finance.
Right,
so you're much more likely to get the finance if you can offer a 10% deposit.
Why did you choose 7 years?
It's quite deliberate. So lots of different reasons. The first one is based upon the improvement curve on batteries.
Mm.
So we wanted the batteries to be much, much better at the end of the no-bill period. We started at 5 years, actually, and then we kind of went, it's not conservative enough, let's make it 7 so that the batteries will be much better. Next one is we think most of the trauma in terms of power price rises will happen in the next 7 years. So that's when a lot of the changes will happen and the cost effects of that.
Trauma, you mean really high electricity bills?
Yeah, I mean explosive price rises.
But, I mean, they've already gone up so much. You can't go any worse.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, come on.
Well, like, you look
I think you're scaremongering me.
Maybe. I mean, we're looking at the wholesale market. So am I allowed to tell you the date that we're recording this? It's like the 6th or whatever. What is it, the 8th?
We're in December 23, yeah.
So my trading team gave me a whole bunch of alerts last night about the electricity market starting to get a bit weird last night, the evening of the 5th. Now, no one saw that coming, but it's because
the heat wave's coming.
The heat wave started. And so what happened was the sun came out in the afternoon. No one had their air conditioners running. The houses got hot from the western sun. Everyone turns their air conditioner on, and the electricity prices start going weird. Now, that is 5-6 years ago, that would not have happened. But now we've got 3 days of heat coming, right? Heavy heat. And already the electricity market is signaling high prices, all sorts of crazy uncertainty, etc. That creates headaches for electricity retailers.
Because they're losing big money on those
days. Because they're
losing
big money and they need to recoup it, right? Like I said before, consumers end up paying for everything plus margin.
Mm.
So this uncertainty means the finance people, electricity traders are finance people, they have to do something about that.
So tell me something. I mean, I've heard that there were times where everybody's turning the electricity on because our electricity market, for whatever reason, is a bit like an auction system. Okay?
Yeah, that's right.
And so if I got a little gas-fired power station, I might sit on the sideline and wait till the prices are really nice and then I turn it on and throw it into it, okay?
Yeah.
And let's say the kilowatt hours are sold per 35 cents to 40 cents on average, okay?
Okay.
How much in that really high peak period when suddenly there's not enough capacity and they're bidding themselves up and up and up to try to get that electricity over, how much do some of the energy retailers have to pay for that kilowatt hour that they sell for 40 cents?
$17. And there's a proposal, there's a rule change being proposed at the moment to bring that to $22.
So did the government put a lid on that? No.
There is a lid.
Yes.
It's called the market price cap.
Right.
And at the moment, that's 16,800, I think. But the proposal is to bring it up to 22 and a bit, right? And the reason is because that's the design of the electricity market. The reason those high prices are there is not to gouge people. It's to provide a strong investment signal for those people who have money to use that money to build a generator. That's why the prices go up. So in this period of uncertainty where no one is sure, all the investors are like, oh, geez, I don't know. Geez, it's going to have to be pretty nice for me to build a generator into this.
Mm.
They have to lift that top price from 16 to 22. And so then investors are like, yeah, okay, I could make some money here. And they put their money in, they build batteries or transmission lines or whatever it might be, right? That is how I know prices are going to go up. On top of that, all the electricity networks are going right now to a thing called their price determination or their price reset. So every 5 years, they say, here's all the things we're going to have to do for the next 5 years, and we're going to have to increase or change prices by this amount and this amount and this amount and this amount. That's happening right now in New South Wales and Victoria. The electricity networks are fundamentally saying the networks are going to become unsafe unless we invest in them. The networks are going to...
You're going to have blackouts.
We're going to have blackouts unless we invest in them.
Politically, that's going to be smelly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So this is the politicians are kind of rocking a hard place here, right? The networks are saying everything is changing, EVs are coming, lots of solar in. It's this changing of trillions of dollars thing again. So ultimately, consumers have to pay for that, and they pay for it with their electricity bills.
Can I ask a stupid question? If Tony Abbott wouldn't have kind of messed out for the political reasons and stopped the whole progress of transitioning and actually putting a cost on carbon,
yeah,
would we be in a better place?
Yeah. I'm a bit of a bastard. When Tony Abbott removed the CPRS, I knew at that moment that renewables were going to detonate in Australia. Tony Abbott, with that policy decision, paralysed every fossil generator. And then the only kind of generation that could have gone in there was something without a carbon impact, and that was when a bunch of the wind got built.
So you're actually saying that Tony Abbott, by stopping the carbon tax, actually made it very difficult for people generating carbon to actually know how risky it was to generate that.
Yes.
And so indirectly, he actually boosted renewables.
In a big way.
Did he know that?
I don't know if he knew that.
Ironic.
I mean, if you're an investor, you don't mind if you know markets are going to go down, and you don't mind if you know markets are going to go up. But what you do mind is when you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm.
And then
you don't invest.
Massive discount rates. You don't invest. And if you are going to invest, like, it has to be in something that avoids the discounting or just gives you massive, massive returns to overcome the discounting.
But most normal, ordinary Australians, to them, that would just all be such googly goop. They just go, I don't get this. I just want my electricity.
Yes.
And to use your term, I don't want to have to pay a bill.
Yeah. Electricity is just a thing that people need in their lives. Yeah.
Do you see if the batteries get better and stuff like that, that maybe down the track you increase it to 8 or even 10 years?
Yeah, I think so. So we've already increased it from 5 to 7. And part of that was because we were not conservative enough on how fast we thought batteries were going to improve. I think the other thing that will happen is that the value of what we do will go up as our fleet gets bigger. So it's nice to be able to provide 11 megawatts to RERT, but it's a lot more valuable to provide 110 megawatts to RERT.
What you're really saying is, here being nerd talk, the more electricity you have in the batteries and in the solar systems that you can throw at the electricity retailer market at any given time when it is needed, the higher the value altogether. So you're kind of creating 1 and 1 equals 3.
Yeah.
And so, and you're willing those benefits down the track to reinvest into the benefits to the end customer.
Yeah.
So as you grow and you're becoming a bigger player in the electricity market, and therefore you can harvest more benefits, you can throw some of those back at the end customer.
Yeah. So basically it's a flywheel that spins faster and faster as you end up with more people in the system.
Just don't put your finger in it.
I don't know. I feel like I've got my finger in it right now.
Can I order right at the beginning a cap of 125% instead of just 120%?
Okay, so what some people do is the equivalent of that. They say, okay, I don't want to incrementally expand my system. I know that I'm on a 4-year journey to electrify my home and my life. So when they talk to the site designers, they ask you, are you thinking about getting an EV, 1 or 2? Do you have ducted gas? Like, what are you going to do? And people say, I want to replace my hot water system. It's about 10 years old. It's about to go. Yes, I am going to buy an EV. So then what you do is we calculate your baseline number, your baseline number, without any of those additions is just what you used on your bill, right? That's your baseline. What we say is let's make your baseline a bit bigger, right? Okay. And we know we can do that scientifically. We know what the coefficient of work is on a heat pump. And so we can say, okay, this many joules of gas is about this many kilowatt hours with the coefficient of work. We've got lots of data on the fleet on what cars use. You tell me what kind of car, I can tell you what they use, basically, in different areas.
I mean, electric car, how much electric cars, charge?
Yeah, electric cars, go. Like all that kind of stuff we know, and we can be pretty scientific about, okay, yeah, you're going to need an extra 8 kilowatt hours for an MG and another 12 kilowatt hours for a Model 3 and kind of stuff.
Okay. Now, when I get the stuff installed, what's the time frame for the install?
We try to get it done in 4 weeks.
Right. So from the time I sign and give you the deposit to the time that it's installed and then I'm in the no-bill territory.
4 weeks done.
You should be in the kind of bill-free hall of fame.
We are. So there was a report done by Consumers International. They surveyed 113, they called it one-stop shops globally, and Reposit is by far the best of those one-stop shops. We have the longest no-bill guarantee. There is only one other no-bill guarantee. It is Octopus in the UK, but it requires a brand new home, fully electrified everything, blah, 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 lots of different stuff. I think that over time, everyone, all electricity is going to have to be like this.
Right. So people hogging their little solar system, owning it, going up there and wienering it and washing it and making it a whole religion.
Yeah, I think that the enthusiasts are like that. Like, it's the same. My son builds gaming PCs. He buys this CPU and that motherboard and this graphics card.
Somehow I could work out that your son would be a geek like
that. Yeah. There's no surprises there, right? And like he loves it, but it's a world of pain for him. Oh, the graphics card doesn't work with the motherboard. I put it in the wrong PCI slot or whatever it is, blah, 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 right?
And then you fix it for him.
And then I help have it fix it. But like my computer, I've got a ThinkPad. I bought the best one, right? And it just works day in, day out, and I get my job done, right? It's the right tool for the job.
Okay. I decided to sell my home at year 3.
Yeah.
Do I now tell the new person, mate, with that house, no electricity bill for the next 4 years?
I haven't yet seen it in a real estate ad, you know, installed with a deposit.
I mean, Jesus Christ, it would be a good one.
I mean, I would love to see it.
I mean, absolutely. This house comes with a spa, a pool, and no electricity bill for the next 4 years.
Yeah. So I would love to see it. It has yet to happen across, you know, however many thousand systems.
Right.
But there is one I'm thinking of. It only happened like last week. New owners moved in. Their no bill system resumed at the sort of like it paused while there was no one in it, and then it started again. They used their house differently, and so they ended up blowing their fair use cap. Now it does happen, right? Some people like the air conditioner on more, some people like it less.
Yeah.
So what we did with them is we gave them a slightly larger system, and their system gets now reset to 7 years, and their new fair use cap, and off they go. Like I said, like we want as many no bill systems as possible. Like, it's much better for us to do all the stuff that we do if the customer is a no bill customer.
I get it. Now, you sound pretty smart to me, but how long have you actually been in business?
Reposit's 10 years old.
Right.
11 years old. I think it was it was founded in June 2012. Me and a guy called Lachlan Blackhall, both of which still deeply embedded in the industry. So it's 11 years.
So you do actually have a lot of experience. So how many customers you got now?
6,000-ish,
right? More. And where you expect to be, let's say, in 4 or 5 years in terms of customers? What's your goal?
That's hard to know. That's a good question. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, you've got to have a goal to know where you're going.
Yeah, so
The way you're talking, you should be at 60,000.
Yes, there's some scaling issues in residential electrification that are something that we should probably talk about. It's not necessarily just about Reposit, but like there just are not enough Sparkies. And the ones that do exist are very, very varied in quality. And we're going to have a massive influx of electric car charging. I think everyone's just going to do the charging at home. That's going to means running a new circuit and installation of the charger. I think everyone's going to have solar and batteries, and we don't have the Sparkies.
Right, so you're saying that if you're a solar installer, you'll be busy for the next few years, is it?
I think if you're a solar installer or a Sparky that's good at sort of like clean energy tech, you're going to be very busy the next few years. But critically, you have to be good, right? You have to give a shit. And like, that's not everybody. It's not even a lot of people. Like, it's like there is a hole in the market in quality install and quality design. And it's never been more important than is now. So when you ask me this question, where do I expect to be in the next 5 years or whatever, 3 years? Like, I would like to be installing, you know, sort of like 2,500-3,000 systems a year.
Mm.
But I'm not sure if I can get the labor.
I got it. What happens if you go out of business?
If we go out of business, which is pretty unlikely at this point, but okay, the controller would just go dead. Mm. And the batteries would all revert to their usual, solar and battery systems would revert to their usual fill and spill. You end up with a well-installed, reliable solar and battery system, and you get your bill back.
Right. So I hope you survive for many, many, many decades.
I mean, the nice thing about this product is it's pretty compelling and a lot of people like it. So,
and you're growing?
Yeah, we're growing.
And do you make any money?
We make good money.
Well, then you should be okay.
Yeah, I think my biggest concerns would just be scaling. Like, we need to scale. Like, and I think that's where a lot of the work's going to come into this now. How do we talk to more people about the product?
Mm.
And like, doing something like this is valuable, not just for customers, but also to talk to installers.
Mm.
Like, there are installers with certain values that we need, and we can't work with ones that don't have those values. And we want more of them to know about us.
Let's say I get a blackout. What's happening to my system? Are you down? Am I up? Am I protected? What happens?
We go one step further. We always install an external blackout protection box, so an EPS switch. We don't rely on the internal EPS switches and inverters. They're too fragile. We always, doesn't make a difference, three-phase, single-phase, every single blackout protection site we install, we have the external switchover box. It means that if the inverter were to break, your house would still have electricity. Now, when you use the internal EPS inside an inverter, if the inverter breaks, there's a chance that your house doesn't get electricity anymore because energy comes from the grid, goes to the inverter, and then goes to your house, even under normal circumstances.
Mm. Mm.
The external EPS box is a much simpler device. It's just a big relay. And so even if the inverter breaks, your house still has electricity.
In a case of a blackout.
In the case of a blackout or not a blackout, right?
Right, right, right. Got it. Do you kind of send me regularly a bit of an energy saving kind of email and stuff? Is it in your interest, obviously, too, that I kind of stay within my 120%? So do you offer anything in terms of educating customer about electricity?
We typically, so in the app, which kind of shows you, you know, what you would have spent kind of thing. We do not yet do a lot of communication with the no bill customers. We try to leave them alone.
Mm.
Increasingly, what we want to do is start talking to them, particularly the ones that are nowhere near their fair use cap. We want to start talking to them about, hey, like, you can use more power, right? If you feel like you need to turn your aircon up, just do it, right?
Mm. Mm.
And if you are thinking about getting an EV, like, you can do this for free. Like, you've got the gap to do it, right? Mm, so like, making people aware that they've got an opportunity to use more electricity, I think, is a really important thing that we can do. The reason we can do that is because, and the reason why this electricity transition is going to happen the way it's going to happen is because electricity comes from the sky for free. So energy used to be a valuable thing, right? Mm. Energy. Because you'd have to burn something and build a power station and dig it out of the ground or whatever. Now, literally, you point shit at the sky and it comes for free. The problem with it when you point things at the sky is that it comes whenever it wants, not always when you want it, and not always at the speed you want it to. So the value is moving from generating energy to being able to control energy. And that's otherwise known as power.
And also store it, obviously, with the batteries.
All storage does is controls it, right? Gets it in at one speed at one time and then gets it out at another speed at another time. That's all the storage does.
Mm.
That's all the controller does when it talks. It knows how fast can I get it in? When am I going to get it in? Okay, how fast can I get it out? What about 2 hours later? How fast can I get it out? That's what it's always doing. Mm. And so by being able to change the time and the speed you get energy in and the time at the speed that you send energy out, you can solve problems and we get paid for that. So I don't mind if people use more energy. I want people to use more energy. It comes from the sky for free. Live a good life, right?
Mm.
Provided it can be managed, then people should make the air conditioner a bit colder if they're hot.
Okay. So what I don't get is, why did it take you to develop this? And why did the energy company, who have been seeing solar growing for the last 10, 12, 15 years, are now complaining there's so much solar in the middle of the day and we didn't build batteries in the last 10 years to absorb it? I mean, Blind Freddy could have seen that trucks driving you away. Why didn't anybody do anything about it?
People are overwhelmed already on, like, they get their electricity bill and they're like, I got no idea how come this is like it is. Like, I tried everything.
There's only 47 numbers on the back. I should be able to work that out quite easily.
Well, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff, right? Like, it's just like I do a thing and then it works and then it doesn't work. And how many degrees of freedom are there that go into somebody's electricity bill? Particularly if you've got, like, traditional solar and battery on it. Is it working? I don't know. Is it been under control properly? Maybe I'll get in the app. Oh, no, now I've got to spend chunks of my life. That goes all the way through the electricity industry, and there are not that many people who really understand it end to end. So you asked, why is it me? It's because I do understand it end to end. And I got lucky with my co-founder, Lachlan, who is a PhD in control systems. Literally, like, he did a PhD in exactly the type of control that our distributed controllers operate on. And I had a background in finance, and I know about enterprise software. And I was lucky enough to have built a great team, and we managed to survive the whole process.
Now, I mean, let's say I put this like 50 meters next to the coast and all that, nice bit of salt spray on every morning.
It's conformal coated. It's fine.
What does that mean?
It's got this weird transparent coating over the components, so salt spray doesn't hurt it. It's also inside a steel cabinet, right? So this thing here is inside a steel cabinet, which is like a switchboard. It's got a DIN rail, so you can put additional breakers and stuff in there, and it helps keep everything safe and cool. So
you don't have many of these break down?
No.
Oh, made in Australia. How good is that? You should win an award for this. Have you ever won an award?
We won the top engineering award for the country from Engineers Australia, the Sir Toby Hudson Award in 2018. We won an award for Project Edith recently with Ausgrid, where we're doing dynamic network pricing. So instead of the network price being published, you know, on the 1st of July, now Ausgrid publishes to us a price every 5 minutes. This is what it costs to import and export from our network. And we won an award for that, I don't know, 8 weeks ago, six weeks ago.
Now, I do have a bit of a cynical
angle
to it, but do you just sell me a really expensive solar and battery system and then find a way to boot me off the no bill after the three strikes and rub your hands and run away?
So no, the main reason is because what we are doing is building power stations. Lots of little pieces connected to the distribution network, not out in the countryside, out in the suburbs. And we're using those and as one big generator to outcompete transmission, connected, centralized generation, batteries, solar, everything, right?
So you're kind of the Lego baron of energy with all those little solar systems,
yeah,
which other people own,
yeah,
but you have the ability to control and then get the best possible result within the energy network.
Yes. So we do 15 simultaneous services, which basically means there's 15 ways in which we can earn money at any moment in time. And
yeah, but that's all done automatically.
It's all done by the control.
You don't have anybody sitting there pressing buttons, do you?
No, I mean, there's thousands of these things in all sorts of different places, all with different predictions on how much solar, what the grid costs, all sorts of stuff. Like, it's all computers.
But isn't that also meaning that the whole energy system and all that auctioning and time of day metering and all that, isn't it all gone just too complicated for normal people?
It was never meant for normal people. This is the thing. The electricity market was not set up for normal people. The electricity market was set up for investors. And
industry,
traders. Industry, right? Electricity retailers, when the market design was done, their job is to protect people from all of that complexity. And it worked for a long time. Market start was 1998. So for 10, 15 years, people were protected from this complexity. When they started to install solar, and then when the effects of solar started to kick in.
When the electricity literally running the other way than it was designed.
That's right. Then all of a sudden things got out of control for the retailers and the retailers were no longer able to provide a simple insurance, right? electricity retailers were the original insurers of electricity, but it's too complicated for them now. So that's why that abstraction that was very useful, that had everybody happy politically, out in the world, punters, everyone was happy because they had the protection from the complexity. But it's now bled through. And now everybody's wearing the complexity and it's just the wrong place for it. So all we're really doing is reestablishing this insurance, this abstraction of complexity. And the reason we can do that is because we've got the computer and we know how everything works and we can teach the computer.
Now, look, I mean, I want to make a suggestion to you here. The solar companies are really you depending on them to get your systems on the roof. If you had actually quality installers that you trust, there's no reason they couldn't sell a solar system to somebody and a battery and then actually give them as one of the options the reposit no bill option and have that actually sold to them. So you could actually depend on solar companies to grow your business, couldn't you?
Yes, we could do that. It has been brought up many times by many people. I think solar installers understand, or solar retailers, dealers, know that this is a product that would be attractive for customers. Because it is.
Yeah, it's an option there.
Yeah.
You can have a solar system, you have a lower bill, you get a battery, you got your blackout.
Yeah.
But now I can drive this the extra bit and you're not worrying about the $120, $130 bucks every 3 months plus the night consumption. I'm actually going to remove the whole thing from a billing point of view. That's the next ultimate step when you buy a solar and battery system.
Yes. My problem with that is that we had at one point 430 dealers on our and as a distribution channel for us. And we found six that were people that shared our values. Six. So the issue was incentives. The incentive when we just gave people the controller and $1 a kilowatt hour, which is what we used to do, the grid credits program, the incentive was to just put this controller on, say you're going to get $1 million a year and run away, and then you've got a Reposit app in your hand, so now it's Reposit's problem. The incentives were all wrong. And I believe that people aren't bad. They just respond to incentives. So we got the incentives so wrong. To use existing solar dealers as a channel for no bill, we'd have to find a way to have the incentives right. And that is design the systems properly so that the customer doesn't get kicked off, right? Because they're
No, you need the good experience. You need your proper data.
And you'd need to be able to set policy and say, when you install, you ask for tiles up front. Right? You don't do the install unless you've got spare tiles, right? When you finish your install, you test this, you take a photo of this, you send it through. In the previous channel model, if we put those impositions on installers, they were also our customers. No, they were our salespeople. So if we gave them all these imposts and they didn't do that, and then we said, well, okay, you got to go back or anything, they're just like, I'm not selling your stuff anymore. Right. And so all the incentives were very, very badly aligned.
So you kind of had to, you were pulling this way and you were pulling
that
way.
Yeah, that's right. And we constantly were being forced to compromise against our values. And like everyone in the company hated it.
You basically need somebody who gets it.
Yeah. So we brought it all in house. That gave us all, we've got all the data. The controller, when you install it, you put the controller on first. And the controller pays attention to what's going on and it can time. Yep, meters are connected now. Okay, that's good. Now I can see the inverter. Aha, yes, solar is just on. Now solar's on. Like it knows everything about the install while the install is occurring. And so we can measure everything. How long does it take? How, you know, did they get it done by this time? Were they on site? Were they working? You know, did they test it properly? All the photos come through to our SimPro. Everything is automated and audited and we can maintain quality. And it's much easier when they're either employees, and we've got some very, very good subcontractors that are basically employees.
So you basically got a sales team that explains it very thoroughly to the customer, and you got installers who know clearly what you need to get done so that the system is properly installed so long term you don't have issues.
Yep.
Let's say I apply for a job for you in the sales department, and I don't know if they get incentivized with extra money for more sales and this and that, but normally they do. And let's say I take a bit of liberty and oversell it a little bit and overpromise and this and that. And then one day you find out that your best sales guy has actually fibbing a bit just to get extra sales. What do you do?
So everything's recorded. That's the first thing. All interactions with the customer. So we don't do home visits typically. Everything is done via Google Meet or our own in-house video conferencing tool, and everything is loaded into our sales AI. So if a customer says, I expected blackout protection, but I didn't get it, we say, okay, then we'll go and have a look. And all the videos are there. And so we just ask the sales AI, blackout protection for Marcus Lambert. And it'll go, it was mentioned here, 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 and here. And then we can see whether or not the salespeople. Now, if the salespeople are fibbing, like, we just have to honor it. What it comes down to is policy. And so what we say is, these are the things you're allowed to sell. These are the things you're not allowed to sell. Mm. More in particular, these are the things you're allowed to sell and nothing else. And we do that because we rigorously engineer all the things that they're allowed to sell. The EPS box, for example, right? Like, that's rigorously engineered blackout protection. No one else does it like we do, right? Mm-hmm. And we do it because we know how inverters work. We have thousands of them under control, and we've got all the statistics on how often an inverter will fail and the house will go dark. We know all that stuff, right? So only after it's been engineered and through a product design and implementation process are my salespeople to sell it. If they start ad-libbing on bird protection, we've never engineered bird protection. So it's not going to have the proper little fence, et cetera, et cetera. It's just going to be a nightmare, right? Mm. So it's controlled because we have a 7-year commitment to the customer minimum. And as a result, it needs to be right. Otherwise, we're just going back and fixing it and going back and fixing it. And no one wants that.
Okay, well, listen, I mean, you must be, I don't know how you wake up in the morning and come up with new ideas, because just to have gone through the journey of developed this, having 4 generations, having changed and pivoted with the market, and have now come up with what looks to me like a bloody good product, I'm surprised you still got hair.
I mean, I'm always driven to build and fix things, always have been. It's just like, you know, that's what I like.
It's in your nature, yeah.
It's in my nature. I get upset when there's things that are being done badly that are actively hurting things, right? And I like hard problems. Like, electricity is hard, hard. It's one of the hardest problems. And I really like it. Now, it's not an easy job. It's a horrible, hard job. But, you know, I've got a good team. I like the people I work with. That's a big part of it. And I genuinely think that this is, like, electricity industry changing, not just in Australia but internationally.
I must say, I get a lot of people here in for podcasts, okay? And they always have positive stories, some experience in the solar industry, some negatives and this and that. I've never had anybody come in like you who kind of got that magic wand who can actually give me the no bill system thing.
Mm.
And if you would be sitting over here, where's the hook? What's wrong with it? I mean, you know why I wouldn't buy it? It's too good to be true.
Yeah, this is a problem that we have.
But people go, nah, that can't be right, is it?
Yeah. So, like, I was thinking about this. Like, we've got some really clever technology that it's an AI that goes through all the sales calls and all the site presentations. So all of the site inspections, the home inspections that we do, and it flags things. And we've taught it to flag credibility issues, too good to be true, this sounds like a scam, blah, 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 right? And every day it pops up 5 to 10 of them for me, people just not believing it. How is this possible? How can it be possible? So it's the thing that I think about. It's one of the reasons I'm on here, so that people can see.
This is real.
This is real, right? And there's rhyme behind the madness, and, you know, it works for a reason. Similar things happened when, long time ago, early 2000s, Google released Gmail with 1 gig of free email storage. Do you remember this?
Mm.
And everyone was like, how are they doing that? That is amazing. Like, Yahoo would give you 20 meg and someone else would give you 35 meg. And Google went, gig, you get a gig, right? And people were like, oh my God, this is a scam. They're mining all the data, blah, 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 whatever it is.
All my emails will be copied.
Everything's going to be copied. It's all this stuff, right? Did any of that happen? No, it didn't. Why did people have that reaction to it? Because it changed the world slightly. It was a product that actually changed the world. Similar thing happened with Tesla Autopilot. Cars can't drive themselves. What do you mean cars can't drive themselves? And then the Autopilot thing isn't perfect, right? But, hey, the car pretty much drives itself. Everyone's skeptical until they see it. Then they get used to it. Now cars, yeah, sort of they can, like, self-driving cars are a thing. A year ago, ChatGPT came out. All this talk about AI, blah, 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 and now you can write haikus about, I don't know, your wife's favorite dress in the style of, I don't know, Proust. Here's the other one that I was thinking of in the car on the way here, Skype. Remember how, like, you'd like sweat when you had to make an international phone call? You're like, oh, shit, this is costing me a bomb, right? And then Skype came along and everyone was able to make international phone calls for free and everyone was like, what is this? how is this possible? Like, are people listening to my, like, what is going on here, right?
Where's the scam?
And it was not. It was just a change in technology, right? And basically what that was the distribution of the telephone exchange, whereby it was just a long virtual wire in the form of the internet between both people on the telephone. And instead of telephones, it was computers. And that's exactly what this is. People become habituated to the old ways. Oh, yeah, okay, we're going to build this like bespoke system for my house out of this bit and that bit, and then I'm going to have to watch it and blah, blah, blah. Or I call an electricity retailer. They offer me a discount 31% or 32%. Which one do I go with, right? Like,
it's, or spend 3 days to look for the best feed-in tariff.
That's right. Spend 3 days of your life looking for the best. Oh, 14 cents? Oh, how many? Oh, only for 3 months.
But they are more expensive with the kilowatt hour. So now that's I have to calculate the kilowatt hours they use versus the feed-in tariff I send out. And then I can do a spreadsheet. I can work two out.
Yeah.
It's usually blokes doing that, isn't
it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who is usually doing it. But like, tell you what, anybody who like values their time knows that that is a waste of time.
So by you really empowering the individual households to contribute to the generation of electricity, how do electricity companies feel about you?
Look, if I'm honest, I think they don't think about us. I think that...
You're not big enough yet.
Not big enough yet. And like you said before, right, like they had 10 years to know that there was all this solar coming and they didn't build batteries. No one's thinking about it. You know what they're thinking about? How can I make it a 32% discount rather than a 31% discount? Because that's how they compete. Their customer acquisition is around... who can provide the largest discount and what shenanigans can we pull, if they are pulling shenanigans, to get 32% or 33% to beat Origin's 31%. Mm. And then the second thing that they're very good at or they work very hard on is customer retention. So when the customer leaves for Origin's 32% discount and they can say, yeah, well, like I can't give you 32, I can only give you 31, here's the reasons you should stay with us. So acquisition and retention really...
So if you want to leave an electricity company, expect a phone call, they keep you.
Absolutely. There's a retention team. Right. And they will try to do that. So, you know, electricity companies, retailers do like four things: customer acquisition, customer retention, billing, and risk. And that risk is the energy part of it, right? But basically billing is the most expensive part. And then customer acquisition and customer retention mean that the other two things are worth doing.
So to come back to the question, they like you, do they dislike you, or they ignore you?
I don't think they like us very much. I mean, I spend time in reg environments with them. They broadly ignore us, but every now and then I'll arc up about a particular thing that is like they're pushing for a particular direction that is, you know, just the curse of incumbency.
So basically they're trying to feather their own nest, is it? And you call them out.
Yeah. So we saw this most recently in the market ancillary services specification regulatory fight that happened over a couple of years that I was particularly vocal in, and we didn't get a 100% win, but we got a pretty good win. And there was a lot of heat.
So if we get the Gmail moment and Reposit is a solution, because what's going to happen as solar and batteries come down more and more and more, your offer will become more and more attractive.
Yeah.
So the future really can belong to Reposit, or if somebody else does a similar thing. So if you do take 30, 40, 50% of the Sydney market suddenly, how do energy retailers feel about you then?
Yeah, I think they really don't like us then. But, you know, there's a limit to how many people could be on No Bill. I don't know what that limit is. It's a long way from where we are now. Because sooner or later, you know, the snake eats its tail. But we're set up for that. We're ready for that. Like, it's natural that the snake will eat its tail.
Hang on, I don't know that. What does that mean? You're getting too big for your own boots, or what?
It means that you have too much capacity, and
nobody wants it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's already happening with solar. That's why solar goes to negative pricing in the middle of the day, because there's too much solar and everyone's got it at the same time. So if they've 70% of the Sydney basin was a Reposit, then we would just like, we would dominate the markets, and there wouldn't be offtake for all of those things. Now, I think that EVs will increase electricity consumption by 40%.
Wow.
I think that also that Australia should be a place where we generate electricity for other countries and store it chemically and put it on ships.
So to explain that to people is, we've got all this big territory. The world will need more electricity. You can actually use electricity to make, let's say, for example, ammonia or hydrogen, which then can be transported around the world, and it's really energy in a physical form that then can be transported around the world.
Yeah, like we do with gas now, right? Mm. We get it out of the ground. Mm. It is energy in a physical form, methane. Mm. We compress it, we stick it on ships, and we send it to Japan and everywhere, Germany, et cetera, right? Like, we don't need to get it from the ground. Like,
we don't need fossil fuel. We can actually turn renewable energy into physical energy.
That's right.
That allows us then to transport. I mean, Andrew Forrester, et cetera, is really investing heavily in that kind of idea. And you believe that that in itself will also increase our electricity generation.
Yeah. I actually think, I mean, we're talking years, maybe decades into the future. But even since when I was a kid, I actually think that Australia could make so much energy that it is essentially free for its residents. And that's really what, I mean, the mission of Reposit is to make energy limitless and free. That's the mission statement. And I think that Australia has could make so much energy with a relatively small population. Energy could be free for Australian consumers and Australian producers.
And could be one of our main exports.
It should be one of our main exports.
But I mean, let's call it energy that does not F up the world.
Yeah, I'm talking like, because there's almost no limit to the amount of renewable energy we can make with the continent we have and where we're positioned globally. Right? Almost no limit. So we don't need to be digging it up. It's I mean, it would seem like an obvious thing for us. The US is going to have a crack. Everyone's going to have a crack at this. China.
Interesting. All right. Well, look, this was very enlightening. I unfortunately can't keep it because I wouldn't know what to do with it, but it does look pretty. So thank you very much for your passion, for your thinking, and for you explaining how I can get a no bill for 7 years on my electricity.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thanks, Marcus.
Want more energy answered? Visit yourenergyanswers.com for quality energy products, tools and calculators, and find your quality local installers. Please support the channel by liking the video, hit that subscribe button, and ring the bell, and check out all our other videos. You're still here? I'll see you next time. Bye.